Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
Well, we are in an exciting time politically, of course, and as moms, it's important for us all to know the issues. But for the next hour, we're going to focus on the issues that are non-political, like our children and the health of them and raising them in school. And I guess all of those kind of have some kind of political connotation. I don't know. But no, this is a time that we get to just bond with each other, no matter what side of the line you're on. I am delighted to thank our sponsor, Prenatal. Drink Premama. They are a prenatal vitamin that you don't have to swallow. It actually mixes into your drink. It contains doctor-recommended vitamins and nutrients and tastes oh so good and gives you and your baby all the nutrients that you need when you are expecting. So speaking of expecting, next month, just a couple of weeks from now, we can be expecting to get chocolates from our beloveds. And I'm wondering what kind of chocolates you're going to be requesting. I have to tell you that for, 20 years, my husband has been giving me Russell Stover chocolate. And every year I say to him, honey, did I tell you that I really, really, really love Hershey's? So I'm like, let's just take a bet right now that I've gotten my message through and that that we'll be able to, we will definitely be getting Hershey's this holiday season for Valentine's Day. We'll wait and see. And I guess we got the Super Bowl coming up next weekend, and that should be an exciting game. This has definitely been the year of the underdog, so whether you're rooting for the Patriots or Atlanta, or you have no skin in the game, no pun intended, you have an underdog to root for. So really exciting times. Speaking of excitement, we've got a great show packed up for you. And when we return, we're going to be talking with a doctor who began his career as a teacher. And we're going to talk to you a little bit about what he's doing now.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I am excited to have with us today Dr. Odi Raviv, and he is a PhD who began his career as a teacher of self-contained classes for children with learning disabilities and behavioral disorders. 5 years later, he was offered a PhD fellowship at the University of Florida. We are not going to fault him for that. The Seminole does not like gators, but that's okay. We'll let him pass because he is very, very well qualified to be talking today. So he actually now has offices in New York City and on Long Island and works virtually with students across the country. And I'm really excited to be speaking with him today. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Maria. It's a great opportunity to talk to you and your audience today. Thank you.
I'm particularly excited because I have a little self-interest here. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of your work is done with collegiate academic coach and working with teens transitioning to college. Ironically, last weekend, I was in New York City and on Long Island. I was at CW Post. Mm-hmm. And that's not who I'm referring to when I tell you the story. But what has been very interesting as I have been on this journey of taking my child to visit the colleges, she is severely dyslexic and has mm-hmm. learning challenges around that. It has amazed me how many colleges will point out their offices of learning disabilities and tell me about their tutoring programs and how much they can help your child, you know, once they get there. But yet they don't give any special consideration to that when they're evaluating their SATs or their scores to get into the college. And it, to me, is just mind-boggling.
Well, you're really hitting on a hot point, hot-button issue, because so many parents are concerned with that because they know that their children are determined or smart, but they fall with the pressures of the SAT and ACT, and it doesn't really give a true reading of their capability. If you have a student who is able to overcome the challenges of, as you mentioned, dyslexia or any kind of learning challenges, ADHD or affective functioning deficits, you know, those kids end up being terrific students eventually, and they become wonderful contributors to society. But many colleges don't appreciate that possibility.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about understanding executive functioning and its impact on those college students? Because I know that's another hot topic.
Yes. Executive functioning is really the set of skills that help students and even adults plan, organize, and control their lives to make sure that things get done. You know, in the literature and in conferences, we always talk about it as being similar to the air traffic controller, who has so many things to deal with: what's coming in, what's coming out, what the weather's like, are we behind schedule, are we on schedule? So students have to be able to understand all of those factors when they are when they have to put together and strategize and plan action and manage their time. So if there's a glitch in that process, then students really need to have support in terms of building those skills, because it's so important to realize, you know, that the brain is built. It's not set forever, and we really can do things to help kids improve their ability to monitor and self-determine, and help them reflect and be more thinking and not do things impulsively.
So are you saying, so I think that's so refreshing to hear. And it makes me wonder, when a parent says, you know, I just don't feel like my child is mature enough to go off to college. I'm going to have them stay at home for another year or so. Are you saying that those skills could actually be learned, and maybe there's something that we can be doing in, let's say, their junior or senior or even freshman year? It's not so much maturity. It's skills that can be learned as well.
I think that you get a major point that parents sometimes don't have the confidence that their kid is ready, and you know, sometimes it may be well suited because of their inability to achieve during their high school years. But for, you know, from my experience, that if a student has learned how to self-advocate, how to be independent, and have a parent step back and help them be more autonomous as they grow into their adolescence, then they'll be willing to face the challenges that college courses present. And if they have those skills by negotiating and by dealing with their parents and coming up with ways that they feel that they're maturing and a problem solver, then when they go off to school, they can adjust and deal with the stress. But of course, the problem is when a course becomes too difficult, or the environment is challenging, it's so important that students feel comfortable that they can go as you said before, student support services. Many students don't want to go there because they feel embarrassed by it, or they don't feel comfortable at the setting.
Right.
So that's why it's important to realize that there are academic coaches available, and students can enlist their services to work on the study skills. Some of them need to hone in on their reading comprehension skills to deal with more challenging courses.
I want to talk about how you help students specifically. So tell me how that would work, and you know, if we don't live in New York or Long Island, how that works.
Well, the way I work is, you know, I do a consultation, you know, with the parents, and then I get an idea of where the student is in terms of academics, and get a little bit idea of how they're emotionally feeling about being in school or preparing to go to school. And then when we do it virtually, we'll really be, it's individualized. You know, sometimes we're setting up the first session, maybe 45 minutes, where we'll go over your study procedures, how you've succeeded in the past, what are your strengths, What do you think your weaknesses are? How can we compensate for those? I'll present strategies for time management. We'll strategize more effective study skills, how to become more accountable with your studies, how to get ready for tests, how to deal with the syllabus, how to focus on writing a paper, which is a major issue with many
right.
kids. And then we'll set up a schedule. We'll get together maybe a couple of times a week for a 20-minute schedule and try to see what's going on, how you're attacking. And it's really nice because then I can give a little bit of feedback to the parents, and the parents feel that their
right.
Student is on the right course. You know, the most shocking
right.
thing is when you don't get your first grade till midterms, and even sometimes they don't get their grades till the end because of all of the individual rights, and kids don't have to let their parents in on things. So it really becomes a nice window, and it's a really collaborative thing between us. So the parent is involved, but not like a helicopter, and the student is independent, but he's getting support and guidance towards meeting his goals and trying to build on where he is or where she is, and trying to get them to succeed.
Then that's the essence of it, is helping your child succeed. I want to give everybody the website. CollegiateAcademicCoach.com is where mm-hmm. you will find the good doctor who's quite knowledgeable about this. I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio, and we'll have to have you back because it's a really, really important subject. So thank you so much for joining us. And
All right,
when
thank
we return,
really
we're going to turn the spotlight on one mom who's doing amazing things and started her business in a very unusual way. And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child to product reviews. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV, your video destination online where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on MomTV.com.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I am excited to have with us the founder of RusticWeddingChic.com, Maggie Lord. She joins us. She's a very busy woman. Not only is she running two different websites and blogs, but she has two children, a five-year-old and a two-year-old, and one on the way. And let's get started with Maggie. So welcome, Maggie, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your company, RusticWeddingChic.com. How did you get it started? Because it's a pretty amazing website.
Well, thank you. I started it actually when I was engaged to my husband 9 years ago now, and I was trying to communicate with my wedding vendors the type of look and feel for the wedding that I wanted. And since it was 9 years ago, there was no Pinterest, so I was relying on pulling out images from magazines and then sending them to the vendors. And we live in Connecticut, but we were planning our wedding in a very small town in northern Wisconsin where my family has always had a summer house. So things were getting lost in translation between the look and feel that I wanted and what the vendors kind of idea that they were getting from me. And I had this idea literally like in the middle of the night that if I was looking for this rustic chic wedding inspiration, I knew people out there needed it too. And so I started digging in and trying to figure out, could I start a blog? How could I do this? And about a year after I started just putting my thoughts down on a blog, I turned it into a business. And I left my job at the time, which was I was a middle school science teacher, and I took it on and I wanted to make it my career. And now 9 years later, it's turned into a full wedding resource. And then we launched Rustic Baby Chic shortly after I had my first son, Jack. And now I've written 5 books on the subject. So it's been an incredible 9 years for me.
That's a long way from test tubes and science fair projects. Wow, that's amazing. And so you have actually coined a phrase, the naptime entrepreneur, and you've been featured in a whole bunch of magazines. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's just an amazing journey in itself.
It's true. You know, I was very happy with the way my work life was going, and Rustic Wedding Chic was really taking off. And shortly after my husband and I got married, like a year and a half later, we decided to start a family. And when we welcomed our son, Jack, you know, like every new mom experiences that your whole life changes. And that included the way that I had to do my work. And so I had this very busy life schedule with a new baby, but I had a very busy work schedule and trying to keep the company going and growing. And I got to the point where I was trying to do too many things at once. And I felt like my company wasn't getting my attention and my child wasn't getting, you know, my full attention. I was pulled in a million different directions. And I thought there has to be a better way to do this. I have to be able to fulfill my journey as a parent and be able to fill the time that I need for my career and for the company to keep growing and be successful. And so it started small, and I was like, I'm just going to work when Jack, my son, napped. And I kind of would joke with my husband. I'm like, I'm the nap time entrepreneur. Like, those are my 2 hours a day where I do nothing but work. And then over the years, it's been adapted and changed. We welcomed our second son, Charlie, and all of a sudden my older son wasn't napping, you know, so it got like creative. But really, when I started, I had to find a time. I had to carve out a time that was just work, no, you know, being pulled in different directions. And so the naptime entrepreneur sort of idea was born.
Clearly it's worked, and you're an inspiration for so many people. We only have about a minute and a half. What would be your 60-second advice to a mom who wants to get started in following your footprints, maybe in a different area?
You know, one, I say that you have to believe in yourself, because no one's going to believe in your company or what your ability or your skill is more than yourself. So you have to believe in yourself, believe that you can make it into something great. And then after that, I say you really have to come up with a plan. Doesn't have to be a formal business plan. I didn't have one in the beginning, but you have to create a plan for yourself. How are you going to go from step one to step two to step three? What's the end result? Do you want to have a huge company, or do you just want to have, you know, a small little freelance company? What is your dream? What is your design for what you're trying to do? And once you know where you want to go, then you can kind of put all of the steps in front of you that you can get there. And then I say you have to really surround
yourself.
That's
really great advice. And unfortunately, we have to go. So I'm going to unfortunately have to say goodbye, because we got to go. But the website is rusticweddingchic.com. Thank you, Maggie, so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to be talking with a pediatrician from Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Often parents are looking for advice on how to set healthy examples, particularly after the first of the year. And one of those examples has to do with a healthy balance between the amount of time a kid spends on and off their devices. So what did we do? We went to a phenomenal source, the Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children, and we found Dr. Jean Morangi. And she is here today to talk a little bit about a whole bunch of challenges that we're going to put in front of her. So welcome, Dr. Jean, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I know you're quite busy. So let's just jump right in here. What about access to gadgets? They seem to surge with the digital world around us. How do we as parents balance the time on and off the screen?
Definitely. This is a concern that I have heard from many families, because screens are, they're everywhere in our lives, not just in our kids' lives, but our own. So as a member of the American Academy of Pediatrics, we used to have screen time guidelines that we would tell parents, and we would say, okay, so you know what, kids shouldn't have more than 2 hours a day on screens. Now, when those initial screen time recommendations came out, we were looking at televisions and movies and video games. You know, this was before the development of smartphones and tablets, but as you know, now they play such a huge role in our lives, and they play a role in our kids' lives at school, in the classroom. So one thing that parents, so the American Academy of Pediatrics looked at it and said, you know, we can't have a one-size-fits-all recommendation for screen time anymore. So what we've looked at are, let's break this down by age group, because obviously screen time for a baby is going to be very different for screen time for an older child. So the recommendation right now that was revised back in October is that anybody under the age of 18 months should have no screen time at all. And that's because we know that from research that children under that age do so much better when they're actually interacting with a parent or a caregiver, you know, talking back and forth. And it can be something as simple as narrating your day to your baby, so that they gain a lot more just knowledge about their verbal skills when they're talking to somebody versus watching a screen or a movie or a TV show. So if the child – oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just agreeing with you. Absolutely. Can I jump in here and just ask a question? Do you find, though, because I recently did some research with moms and technology They define screen time in different ways, you know, so they will tell you, okay, my child only has an hour of screen time a day, but then they don't count certain things. Like if they're in a restaurant and they hand them their iPhone to play with at the table, or they're in your pediatrician's office waiting for an appointment and they hand the child an iPad to play with for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes while they're waiting for their appointment. So I mean, how do you define screen time?
So screen time can be defined as any time a child is engaging in media. So that would include time on the smartphone, like as you said, or tablet that gets handed over in the waiting room or in the restaurant. I do think that goes towards the screen time. And again, I think that parents should talk to their pediatricians if they really want some guidance about how to figure out how media works best in their families, because I think that not all media is bad. I think that parents should really be empowered and talk to their kids and talk to their children and to know that they're not just setting limits. You know what? They're going to be engaged in what media the kids are absorbing. Is my child just passively watching a movie or playing a video game, or are they using media to create something? So, you know, there are many games and apps that can actually teach coding, or are they creating a project? So I think that the time spent on the screen does matter, but I also think the parents do need to step up and kind of be more involved and just really know what your child is engaging when they're on these screens, and to use those parental controls, because obviously we can't look over our child's shoulder all day long to see what they're doing.
Right.
Basically using those parental controls and just talking and just having that open conversation with their child that, yes, these are part of the limits, but then to know what they're a part of. Because I think that it is, and I say this as a parent also, it's part of our job to help. You know, these are things our parents didn't have to deal with, but
I really
think that these are things that now as parents that we can help our children become good digital citizens, because as you know, this isn't going to go anywhere. Like, I think it's here to stay.
Exactly. So. Right. Let me just, I want to get this in before we only have a couple of minutes here. Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children, I know that I've been on the website, and I don't live in Orlando where the physical hospital is, but you guys offer a lot of resources. Where can moms go? Is there a website to go to find the resources that I know you do offer?
Sure. I think that a great place to start is healthychildren.org, and that is a site that is maintained by the American Academy of Pediatricians. And what I really love about it is that it has a place on the website where each family can devise their own media plan. And so it's something that's very clear that everybody in the family agrees to. And it can be something as simple as just defining when is it okay to use media and after what. So some families will say, okay, well, after you finish your homework, after you've gone to sports practice, after you've or after you've played outside for an hour and had physical activity, then whatever's left over can be screen time. And you know what? We're going to have media free zones. Like at dinner time, we're all going to put our phones away, and also no screens in the bedroom. So you can come up with this plan that fits your family, and everybody agrees to it. So healthychildren.org is a great website to find that.
Great. And we will put that on our website as well. Thank you so much for taking some of your time out today. And we will have a web link to it on momtalkradio.com. So good advice. Thank you, Dr. Jean, for being with us today. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to space and the creator of a new pre-reading series for your child.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
You know, we're always looking for really great reading series for our children. And when they're in the pre-reading stage of life, it, you know, we want to get them. We just were talking about getting them off the screen. And, you know, we're always looking for those good pre-reading, you know, books and series for our children. Ruth Rumack has founded Ruth Rumack's Learning Space, and she's the creator of the pre-reading series Alpha Mania Adventures. It's now available at alphamania.com and on Amazon. And Ruth is joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Ruth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. So tell me a little bit about putting the emphasis on developing those pre-reading skills for children and how important they really are, and what are they?
Well, pre-reading skills are really one of the most important things that a parent can give their child in order to work towards success in the future. You know, reading is a huge part of our life. It's something that we have to do every single day. And if we look at statistics, 52% of Americans have low literacy skills, which means that they may be able to read or read a few words. They may be able to read instructions. But in order to advance their lives and to give themselves opportunities in the future, they are really unable to do so because of their level of literacy. So in my private practice, and I've been working with students for over 20 years, I created a program called Alpha Mania, which is a pre-reading program where students would come in and we would do activities and learn the sounds of letters and the shapes of the letters and practice what we call phonological awareness skills, which are the five skills that a person needs in order to be a strong reader. So those would include rhyming, being able to generate and understand a rhyme. Also, blending, taking different sounds and squeezing them together. We also talk about segmenting, taking a big word and breaking it into its parts. And then we talk about manipulating sounds within words so that, you know, you're playing with the language. And then, of course, alliteration, recognizing that the first sound of the word is the same. So you ask, why is it important? These things, these phonological awareness skills, are things that we recognize in spoken language. And the more you play with them as a young child between the ages of 0 and 5, the stronger your awareness to hear the differences between sounds will be. And therefore, when you transfer that to the print side of things, the reading side of things, it will come more naturally and more easily.
Wow. That's amazing. It's, you know, as parents, I don't think we actually think that there's that much that goes into teaching our children to read. You know, like maybe many of us take it for granted, but that's pretty amazing how it all works together like that. So your series that's available now on Amazon, in what form does that come to a mom? In a book, an app, or And then how?
I would say that they are a storybook series. So it's an actual physical book that you sit down with your kids and you read. The unique part about the Alpha Mania Adventure series is that it really concentrates on these phonological awareness skills or these pre-reading skills, mm-hmm. as well as phonics skills. So those beginning skills are the rhyming, the blending, segmenting, alliteration, and manipulating sounds within words. And what I wanted to do was, because we created a whole program where kids would come in and take the lessons, but, you know, you can only get to so many kids a week. And we've even sold the licenses for Alpha Mania program to daycares across the country. And so, you know, there are places both in Canada and the United States that use the Alpha Mania program. But even then, you're only reaching a small select population. So my idea was, how do we get this into the hands of the parents who can actually be playing with the language and reading these fun, colorful, exciting adventures with their kids on a regular basis, on a daily basis, and therefore promoting these skills in a very non-threatening, fun, exciting way. So they are storybooks. And within the mm-hmm. storybook, there is a lovely story, colorful story, all about the Alpha Maniacs. There are five of them, Alex, Eddie, Izzy, Ollie, and Umber. And if you notice, they're all named after short vowel sounds, because that's where you start. And these lovely kids have some magical adventures. They meet all kinds of characters throughout the series. There are five books in the series, and each book deals with a different phonological awareness skill. So the first one, Captain Ray and the Rhyming Pirates, is all about rhyming. And we have the Splitter Critter, which is all about segmenting. We have Slow-Mo the Sloth, all about blending, etc. So they're fun and exciting. And there's also a little phonics game within the pages, which is fun. You have to find something that looks like that letter or sounds like that word hidden within the actual illustration. So it's another element of the story.
Sounds like an incredible resource, and it is so important to actually get your kids to read a book. We just have another minute left in this segment. Could you just let everyone know what your website is again and where they can find the book series?
It's alpha-mania.com, alpha-mania.com, alphamania.com. And you can also find our books. The Alpha Mania Adventure series is on Amazon.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. I can't wait to pick up a couple of books for one of my nieces and nephews. So thank you so much for all of the resources that you are developing for moms, and reading is so very important. Thank you for being with us today. You know, I love when great products are developed for moms, and I just want to mention one to you. If you are one of the 700,000 women that will learn that they are pregnant this month, yes, 700,000 of you will learn that you got pregnant over the holidays. Check out Mother Nurture. You can go to their website at madebymothernurture.com. It's waters that and truffles that are enhanced with DHA and folic acid, everything that you and your baby needs to indulge and to grow. So check out madewithmothernurture.com. When we return, we're going to be talking with Beth Knapp. She is the creator of Mama Bird Box, and wait till you hear what you're going to get in this box.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I was so excited when I discovered the product that we're going to talk about, and even more excited today that I get to actually meet one of the founders. Beth Knapp and her sister, Becca, created Mama Bird Box. It's a subscription box that you definitely need, and it makes a great baby shower gift as well. And it's packed with the best products to use, but also gives you a little advice and encouragement from their own pregnancies. And I'm excited to have Beth with us today to talk a little bit about Mama Bird Box. So welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Maria. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you here because I want to hear we're all kind of familiar with subscription boxes, but your Mama Bird box is a little bit different. It's focused on moms who are expecting, but tell us a little bit about how it's different and what comes in those boxes.
So one part about it that's different than just subscription boxes in general is that I'm not just getting a January box or a February box. These boxes are geared towards what month of pregnancy expectant mom might be in. So she's getting things that aren't just for pregnancy in general, but much more customized towards where she is. So you're not going to see, you know, belly creams in an earlier box or a lot of morning sickness stuff in a later box. So we just try to make sure it makes sense for where they are. But we look at pregnancy a lot bigger than just creams and anti-nausea remedies, because it is so much more than that. So we tried to put in a few more humorous things, like a notepad for pregnancy brain and a ring dish for when your fingers are too swollen to wear your rings anymore. So just the everyday stuff that really is a part of being pregnant, and then along with things to make someone feel better, feel encouraged, or any of that kind of stuff.
It sounds to me that you actually have a lot of the functional and the practical things that go along with pregnancy, which is often the things that are overlooked for, like, the creams and the anti-nausea. So kudos to you. And the subscriptions, are they 3 months, 6 months? How does that work?
People can sign up for a month-to-month, or they can prepay for a three-month subscription or a six-month subscription. Currently, we have 8 boxes total. We've geared the boxes to start around month 3, and then we go through pregnancy through month 9 to 1 postpartum. And we'd love to see growth within our own selves for that, just growing into having at least 2 more postpartums and being able to offer a full 3-box package for someone who's just had a baby, if they happen to miss boxes during their pregnancy or wanted to extend their subscription a little bit longer. And then, of course, people can start earlier than that, but that's just knowing that a lot of people don't make pregnancy announcements before that, you know, first trimester end, or at least that 10-week or first doctor's appointment. We wanted to be sensitive to that and know that most people aren't at least sharing the news or ordering for themselves. But some people, I think, just take a pregnancy test and then get online and place an order because they're early on. And that's perfectly fine with us. We try to make sure that we're giving them stuff that they need.
We just have a couple of minutes left. I imagine that you can order these as a baby shower gift, or if you found out your sister's pregnant, or your sister-in-law, or whomever, they make a great gift as well, right?
Right. We actually have more gifts than self-subscribers, just because expectant moms fall into the mom mentality already of not necessarily buying stuff for themselves. But it's such an exciting time that moms, the grandmothers, future grandmothers, the mothers-in-law, they really want to make sure that they are letting this person who's working hard at growing a baby know that they're so excited. And so giving a gift is actually where we find most of our audience.
Give me really quickly the website one more time.
It's mamabirdbox.com, MAMABIRDBOX.com.
Thank you so much, Beth. And we're excited that Mother Nurture products will be featured in some of the future boxes. So thank you so much, Beth, for being here today on Mom Talk Radio. And we have a link if you would like to buy a subscription for a friend or yourself. You can go right on Mom Talk Radio. We have a link on the show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. Remember, if you miss one of our shows, you can always download it onto your app or listen to us on our archive shows on momtalkradio.com. I hope you have a great week and enjoy the journey of motherhood. We'll see you here next week at the same time, same place, or online at momtalkradio.com.